This afternoon, I took a couple of minutes to look at a word that somebody gave me this weekend actually. Some of the words that came through my mouth over the years in print, and some of it's a little scary because it's come to be, but there's one word here that I just could not pass up. So just close your eyes and focus. It's for all of us. The word is cleavage. As a baby seeks the breasts of his mother to be nourished to suck that milk, the same way we must go to our Father and our Lord, because he is our nourishment. He's the milk of the meat that we need to grow. He's El Shaddai, means the strong-breasted one. Like that old hymn says, lean weary upon, lean weary one upon his breast. When you're weak, you know when you work hard, you get tired. You need nourishment and rest. He will nourish us and give us rest. He will come to me, all that ye are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We will rest in him, and we will be renewed, and we will exchange our strength for his. He will be strong in our lives, and we will no longer depend upon our own strength, upon ourselves. We will depend upon him and do exploits and be served. For that is our calling. As he is, so are we in this world. We're his hands, his feet upon this earth. The earth is his and the fullness thereof, and all that walk therein. He has made us fishers of men. He has made us winners of souls. He has given us authority over devils, over serpents and scorpions, and authority and power far above what the enemy has. We can only walk in it only if we walk in him. We must walk like Enoch, who walked with God, and God took him. Then he was not. He was nowhere to be found. Elijah walked with God, and God took him. We walk with God, and he will take us in his rapture to be his bride. That came through Pontalise. And I was excited, because a few months ago, I heard that he has two little girls, lives in New Hampshire. And those of you who don't remember Pontalise, he was actually fluent in Greek. He was quite a gift to the body of Christ for quite a number of years. I loved him dearly. And a few years back, it's more like several years back, he called me and we met. And we spent a half a day together. And all I can tell you is, he said to me, if it wasn't for the foundations that he received, he certainly knows he wouldn't be who he is today. The God of heaven gave him a young woman to be a bride. I forgot which country she's from, but she was released from that country to marry him. And a wonderful family that loves the Lord. To God be the glory. And the word that I received today was, someone gave me a stack of little pamphlets. And the Lord said, your message is in the pamphlets. I thought, okay, why can't you use the Bible, Lord? So just bow your heads. Say, Father, give me ears to hear. Eyes to see. And a heart to perceive. What your Spirit is saying to me. Amen?
Amen?
And believe it or not, the title of the book is the glory of God. And of course, if you notice, that song tonight was incredible about this glory. His glory fills the temple. And in the Old Testament times, the house of God was the physical building. At first, it was the tabernacle, which was just a tent. Later, the house of God was called Solomon's Temple. And it was given that name because Solomon built it. And that's where the Jews met God. Every male Jew of the age of 30 and older had to present himself at least once a year in the temple in Jerusalem. The presence of God, they called it the Shekinah glory, was kept hidden in the Holy of Holies. The glory of the Lord would be manifested in front of the whole congregation, and they would see it. According to Flavius Josephus, the Jewish historian, the curtain that screened off the Holy of Holies was 40 feet wide, 20 feet high, and 4 inches thick. But when Jesus died on Calvary, all this changed. 20 feet in the air, someone took hold of that curtain and ripped it from top to bottom. God moved out of the man-made Holy of Holies in the temple. Now he indwells us individually. We are each individual temples of the Holy Spirit. And I want to emphasize that, but I also want you to see something else as well. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. And in parentheses, he points out, we collectively make up that house. Notice the word collectively. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. The house of God is people and the pillars and ground of the truth. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? In other words, Paul is saying, know ye not that ye are the house of God? The people he was addressing, the Corinthians, knew about temples. Their city was filled with all kinds of temples dedicated to different gods. But Paul is saying, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. John also wrote, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, 1 John 4:4. And it is true. You individually are the temple of God. I like the translation of 1 Corinthians 3:15, 16 in the Amplified. It begins, do you not discern and understand? Unfortunately, we do not discern or understand this fact. Discern also means to see. You could see something without understanding it. I look at television, but I don't understand anything about electronics. So I see it, but I don't understand it. Do I get an amen? I remember when we first moved to Tulsa from Garland, Texas. We had bought Brother T.L. Osborne old office building, and we lived in an apartment above the office. Our daughter and in the apartment above the office, our daughter and son-in-law were our only office force. They lived in another apartment above the offices. I was preaching on radio, on a radio station in Dallas at the time. One day I went to the grocery store to get something, and my granddaughter, Cookie, asked to go with me. And I remember we pulled into the parking lot at that grocery store, and I tuned the car radio to the station, and I noticed Cookie kept looking at first at the radio, and then at me. That's you, she said. But you're here. That's you. But you're here. That was my voice coming out of the radio, but I was sitting there behind the steering wheel. She heard or saw it, but could not understand it. So we can see and discern many things, but that doesn't necessarily mean we understand them. However, we do need to understand as well as discern. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:16 again in the Amplified. Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple? I could change those words and say Chicopee. I could say Palmer. I could say Holyoke, Springfield. You are, the whole church, God's temple, His sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has His permanent dwelling in you, to be a home in you, collectively as a church, and also individually. Notice the phrase, His sanctuary. That body of believers at Corinth was God's temple or God's house, His sanctuary. And then it goes on to explain other things. And as I was pondering about that today, after I read some of that book, and by the way, it's to be given credit to Kenneth Hagin. He had a lot of different experiences when his beginnings were starting with the manifestation of the glory cloud. It came into his room when he was dying. His grandmother couldn't walk in the room because of the presence of the Lord. His mother couldn't walk in the room. They were just frozen at the doorway, and they couldn't even see him in the bed. It happened again in a church situation where he was preaching, and the glory cloud moved in as a wave. And he said it looked like 4 or 5 feet high off the ground. And he was stunned. He could hear himself talk, but he had no memory of what was going on. There are times that the anointing has hit in different times for me. And they were always kind of unexpected, if that makes any sense. When you're expecting a lot, sometimes you get very little. And you're expecting nothing and you get a lot more. And I've seen that, more than once. But it changes something within you because your unbelief is dealt with. That's what's going on. Whenever a manifestation of the Spirit comes, and He comes in the ways that He chooses. And there are times when we don't understand what He's up to, but I'll tell you, He's building something. Every time He manifests His presence in you, and when you feel the tangible presence of the Lord in a corporate setting, it is much more powerful than it is if you're sitting in your own chair at home. Not that you can't feel His presence at home, but there's a difference. Can anybody verify what I'm talking about? Amen. And I can tell you that when they are all focused in one accord, just like it says in Acts chapter 2, one accord. Now, what does that mean? That means that everybody has one thing in mind. I want more of the Lord. I want more of Him. I want more of His Spirit. And as I was reading some of the stuff that came through my mouth, back in 95, 96, and a little scary stuff, you know. But it was definitely something that I've actually seen come alive. And what's kind of more scary is it was truth. And it spoke clearly, clearly, that it's your choice to go forward with God or to drop Him by the wayside and do your own thing. And some of it was that kind of word. And all I can say is, one of my prayers in that day was that God would pour out of me into others what I had received from Him. And He had many fathers for me. I'm not saying I only had one. I had many fathers. Different ones poured into me from different ways and different aspects and different giftings and impartations, etc., etc. And what I'm saying to you is not all about me. It's what's been given to you. It's been given by Him. But it's also manifesting from you to touch others. Okay? And I would dare to say to you, don't limit it to this room. If you have a word of knowledge for somebody that's working with you, if you have a word of knowledge for somebody that's at the restaurant, if you hold it, you're disobeying the Lord. Ask for the timing. It might be for the waitress. She may need to be encouraged. It might be for somebody at a hospital setting. It may be somebody that's just doing a bike ride and you have a connection. It might be a waiter or a person in a lumber yard. I was at a lumber yard a few weeks back and the Lord gave me a word for a young man. And he looked at me and he says, "How did you know I was a Christian?" I says, "It's written all over your face." He says, "I haven't been going to church." I said, "Get your butt in church." And I teased him. What am I doing? I'm doing what God showed me to do. Okay? There were times when He's used me, and I'm not trying to pat me on the back, but Pontalise said, if it wasn't for that foundation, okay? If it wasn't for that foundation, I don't know what I would be doing today. That foundation is Jesus. And each one of you is accountable to release the glory that's in you to wherever and whomever He chooses to give it to. You're not the controller. You shouldn't be. It should be Him.